Hello, beautiful soul. Welcome to the Elevate Your Soul podcast. Today, I am being interviewed by Laura Zurich on love and relationships. She asks me what different types of relationships people can have, what are the key factors to maintaining healthy relationships, what I feel are the most common traps or belief systems people fall into regarding relationships, how we can best find what type of relationship style suits us best, and my opinion on some common beliefs on relationships that people hold. You can find Laura on Instagram at Laura Zurich. You can also watch my podcast episodes on YouTube at youtube.com/elevateyoursoulpodcast and actually view the podcast interviews. If you enjoy this episode, please message me and let me know and share this episode with a friend or a family member or just anyone you know who might like this episode or could benefit from it. And if you have a moment in time, please leave me a 5-star rating and write me a little review. It would be greatly appreciated. I hope you guys enjoy this episode.
Arelle is the host of her own podcast, Elevate Your Soul, which is a beautiful channel to help people uplift and discover new and healthy perspectives as they go through life. And Arelle has guided many people on her journey to expand their minds, gain strength, and develop strong and healthy relationships. And she's an inspiration to those around her, and I'm grateful to say a good friend of mine. So thank you so much for being here with me, Arelle.
Thank you so much, Laura. I'm excited to be on here. I'm very excited. A lot of like cool stuff. I love being interviewed. So thanks for the opportunity.
Awesome. Well, today we're going to dive into the different relationship types and you can guide us through how to have those healthy and meaningful relationships. So Why don't we start with you telling us a bit about your journey, which has shaped you into the amazing being that you are today.
Thank you. Well, my journey along the lines of relationships, I fell in love when I was really young. I was 19 and that was my first love. And that lasted for about 5 years, that relationship. And it was very, very toxic. It was very on and off. And from the beginning, I kind of knew that it wasn't going to last forever, but there was this pull and like this almost, I'd call it an addiction to this human being, even though I know he didn't treat me right and it was a bit toxic and really unhealthy. But there was just this addiction and this pull and this possessiveness that came out of me because I loved him so much and because I couldn't at the time really imagine living my life without him. So I became really controlling of him and yeah, just really possessive. And I'd want to know everything about him, where he was at all times. Yeah. Eventually in the relationship, I had a GPS on him. It was that bad. Like I asked him to share his location with me 24/7. So I'd see him go to work. I'd see him at work. I'd see where he was eating lunch in town. If I questioned anything, I'd be like, hey, where exactly are you? But I did have a reason for this because all of the like the GPS and stuff, this did start after I realized he cheated on me and he admitted it. And then I took him back and then I said, okay, for the relationship to work, I need full access to everything, to where you are, to your bank statements. And if I saw him, what was that?
So you actually had a reason for the start to come out on you because you had been.
Yeah, I had a reason, although from the very beginning, I probably would have loved it anyway. Like, because there was this mystery with him, you know, that like I always kind of knew he kept secrets and it was almost like the more I knew that he wasn't upfront and honest, the more I wanted to like to investigate him and like ask him more things because I just was so addicted to him and I just wanted to know everything about him. Like in this weird, like he's my idol kind of way. Like I idealized him and I thought he was just, you know, the coolest shit at the time. And yeah, so I had a reason for all of that to start, and that was really toxic. And like, I didn't even like him when he looked at other girls, or I knew like his type, like thin blonde girls or whatever. And if I saw them walking down the street and we were together, like my heart would automatically beat, and I'd like look at him to make sure he's not looking at her. And I always felt like I wasn't good enough, and just super controlling and possessive. And if he had like a friend at work that was female that he got along with really well, I would question that. Like, are you dating her? Are you seeing her? You know, and he'd be like, no, she's married and she has kids. And I'd still just like, I'd feel so protective of him. And so when I finally left the relationship, I questioned, who the fuck was that girl? Like, that, I didn't feel like that was me. Like, what was that side of me that came out so strong? I could not control myself. And like, at the time I was doing it, I knew I was overreacting and I was being crazy, but I just could not help it. And then when I got out of the relationship, I thought, fuck me, I don't ever want to be in a relationship like that again. I don't ever want to feel so insecure and so controlling over another human being again. So I thought the best way to do that is I'll work on myself and I'll not be in a relationship for like another 5 years. So that was my mindset. I'm like, I'm going to be single for like until I find the man I want to have kids with and settle down. And I'm just going to have fun and have my freedom. And then I got into the dating world, and as you do, you call it, you just see people. Like, oh, I'm just seeing some people. And I did see a few people at the time, and then the same two men kind of kept circling back in my little loop, and I started spending more time with them. And then eventually I realized I really, really like both of these guys. And it was almost like I started falling in love with two of these guys I was seeing. And the more I spent time with them, then the less I wanted to like see other guys or other girls or other people. And then one day I had a chat with them and I said, hey, like, I really like you. Like, are we going to make this official? And I said that to both of them, and both of them were like, yeah, you're my girlfriend, I'm your boyfriend. And yet they didn't know of each other at the time, because initially it was really just like, oh, we're just seeing each other, and it's just like a summer fling kind of deal. And that's when I started Googling, and I was like, what the fuck am I going to do? Like, in this situation I'm in, I'm like, I Google questions like, can you love two people at the same time? Like, has anyone else ever had two boyfriends at the same time? Like, these kind of questions. And then I came along the term for polyamory, and I was like, huh, what's this? And I did some research on polyamory, and honestly, like, when I read it straight away, it was like I was reading a description of something that I've always wanted that I never thought was possible or ethical. And I was like, holy shit. I was like 24 or something at the time. And I was like, how have I never, ever heard of this term in my life? It was just crazy. It just blew my mind. And I was like, oh my God, this is me, at least for now. This is what I want. And I want to trial it. And to help me with that crazy psycho girl who I was in the last relationship, I thought this will be such a big challenge for me and my insecurities. And I wanted to deal with them as soon as I could. I didn't want to wait till I was in my 30s or 40s. I was like, I want to get this shit done now. So I thought, yep, polyamory, sign me up. And I did it because I was so attracted to the freedom, but I was also really attracted for the challenge. And that's the thing that people need to realize, is polyamory isn't just about wanting to be able to see anyone they want and to be able to sleep around or anything like that. Like, you genuinely have to be okay with the challenge that comes with it. Because if you're not, and you just want the good stuff, it's going to fall apart. Like, you have to be ready to be stabbed in the heart with a knife a couple of hundred times voluntarily and not blame anyone else for it.
Wow. Personal development journey as well.
What was that? Personal development. Exactly. Yeah. And that's what I'm all about. Yeah. And I wanted to say, like, I want to be the best, like, my ultimate goal, everything I do, I'm like, I just want to be the best and coolest mom in the world. Like, that's what I want to be. And by the time I have kids, I want to know how to have a really meaningful, unconditionally loving relationship. So mm-hmm. I thought I'm going to just go through this challenge of the hardest way for me, to have a relationship right now. And maybe it's not the hardest for me, but I just want to try different types. So I want to give monogamy a go, and I want to give polyamory a go, because both of those resonate with me. I don't need to try all of them, because like swingers doesn't necessarily resonate with me, and neither does open, but I want to try the ones that resonate with me. And I feel like that'll help me just learn more about how to be a good partner, and then therefore I can learn how to be a good mother and a good human and a good friend.
I mean, because I mean, so many of us, we have kids, but probably before we actually really should, right? And we're still going through all of this, like trying to figure out what we really want with our lives and relationships. And this does affect our kids, unfortunately. Yes. So I love that you have taken the stand to say, I'm going to sort my own shit out. I'm going to find what works best for me, become the best version of myself, and then I'm going to be a mother.
Yes, that's exactly.
Awesome. That's really awesome.
Exactly. And it was funny. So when I initially told these two people, the two people I was seeing, like, hey, I've heard this term polyamory. It wasn't that easy. So one of them initially was like, don't ever use that term around me. I'll keep seeing you because I really like you, but don't say that I'm polyamorous or whatever. He's like, just don't use that term. He was really uncomfortable with it. And the other one fucked off for a road trip for 2 weeks and didn't contact me for 2 weeks. So I was like, oh, great. Like, this is the start of my polyamory journey. It's going so well. Not. And then eventually the guy who went on the road trip to see his family, he came back 2 weeks later and he's like, look, this is huge. Like, the idea of this scares the hell out of me. But he also agreed to deal with the challenge of polyamory. And he's like, yeah, like I really like you. And I think I could really learn and grow from this. So he said, okay. Eventually the other one came around as well. Like, he's a little less like against the term polyamory now. And then eventually I found another partner. So I had three partners for about 9 months, and that was incredible. I've never had more than three at one time, but that was, yeah, that was like the peak of my polyamory experience. And that was really, really good. And then since then I've had two partners for almost 3 years. So it's been really good. It's been really good.
How does it go with the time management? Like when you had three for 9 months, how was that? How did that work with time management?
It worked so perfectly because I'm someone who never stays in one place for long. Mm-hmm. So all three of them actually lived in different places. So one of them lived in one city up north, the other one was in a city down south, and the other one was out in the country. So I could visit all three with my little suitcase traveling around the island, or when the one in the country would visit either city for work, I'd visit him in the city. So, and then you have the option to go traveling with one of them overseas or whatever, or two of them or whatever. So with the time thing for me, because they weren't all in the same place, it was so, so easy. And it was just so logical. An easy way to put it is almost like looking at who your closest friends are and how do you manage that? It's like, it's not like you need to hang out with all your friends at the same time every single day, because our perspectives on relationships are different. Like, some people think that when they're in a relationship, they need to spend 24/7 with that person and they need to invite them to every dinner they go to and every event they go to. Whereas my perspective on relationships is a little bit more freeing and like, I'll see you, but when I see you, I'm going to give you like my quality time. I'm going to give you undivided attention. I'm not going to be looking at my phone. So it's kind of, I'm more about the quality of the time that I spend with the person than the quantity.
That makes sense.
So what works for me as well is because I travel overseas a lot, I don't have that urge to need to have many partners in one area that I'm living. For me, the freedom of polyamory just for me is that I can have partners in different places of the world because I travel so much. So I'd love to make Hawaii my second home as soon as I can, along with New Zealand. So if I can have a partner that I see in Hawaii while I'm there half the year in the summer, and then a partner in New Zealand, that's how polyamory works best for me, is kind of like, you know, traveling around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, definitely.
And when so you can, you can create polyamory can look so different for everybody. Some people, there'll be four people living in one house and they'll all be dating each other, and that's still polyamory, right? So it can look completely different for everybody.
Is it generally there's a primary and you have another, or how does it work? Or is that just
not always. So it's, there's with polyamory, there's no rules. That's the thing. Like with monogamy, it's just like you see one person, that's it. But within monogamy as well, it's like you can be married or not married. You can be living together. You cannot be living together. You can do a lot of things together. You don't have to do a lot of things together. And it's the same with like polyamory. It's like each relationship is like, for me, my polyamory experience was almost like I had a monogamous relationship with one person, and then I turned around and I had a monogamous relationship with the other person. So between me and that one other person, there was never anyone else sexually involved. Like when I was with that one person, it was just connection with that one person. But I was able to have that at the same time with another whole complete human being. Whereas some polyamorous people, there may be three people involved and they'll all be seeing each other, right? Yeah. Okay.
And what do you think the most common traps and beliefs?
Oh, sorry, but the primary thing, that's what I want to touch on. So some people do, it's almost like a label, and that's why a lot of people in polyamory don't like that term, because you're saying one's a primary and one's a secondary, and then in some cases, another one's a third or a fourth even. So it's a lot to do with the confidence of the person being called the third or the secondary as well. It's to do with their confidence, because some people just don't like that term. But for me, the only reason why I ever used it is because it just meant whoever I spent the most time with. So my primary to me wasn't that like he's the one I love the most. It was just my primary was the one I spent the most time with. We lived together. And the secondary was the one who I saw less. But when I had three partners, I didn't do secondary or third. I just always had a primary, and then the rest were just the rest. But some people don't like using those. And some people do have like the time split exactly in the middle. So it would be hard to say.
Yeah. So it's whatever works for you and your partner, really.
Completely whatever works. And whatever works, you have to have crystal clear, open communication. And you should have that in monogamous relationships as well. But with polyamory, like it forces you, like you cannot have a polyamorous relationship without learning those skills.
So what do you think the most common traps and belief systems people fall into regarding relationships are? Because mentioning that communication side, so what are the common traps that people fall into, and what damage can that cause to a relationship, do you think?
I love this question so much, because it applies to like the things I was thinking of when you ask me this question. It applies to any relationship style. So whether you're married or not married, or monogamous or non-monogamous, some of these beliefs that people hold, whether they're conscious or subconscious, I think it's interesting, like to see what beliefs people hold. And some of them definitely are far from the truth, I think. And the first one I thought of was that your partner will make you happy. Mm-hmm. This is false. I believe this is false. Your partner can inspire you and help you to live a better life, but they can't make an unhappy person a happy person. And if they can, then it's usually a toxic relationship, or if that relationship ends, that person who was unhappy before is going to be more unhappy once that relationship's over than when they were in a relationship. So don't ever seek a relationship because you're unhappy and you're like, oh, I just want to be happy. I want a relationship. Because a lot of people do that. And that's a subconscious belief, like, oh, when I get a partner, I'm going to be a happy person. And that's not the case. If you work on yourself and learn to be happy single and on your own, and then you find another person, yes, that other partner, having another partner, can make you even more happy and just make life a little bit easier or a little bit more comforting, but they're not going to completely change your mental state. That's not going to happen.
Exactly.
Yeah. And the other one is that relationships will never change. And this is a huge subconscious belief. because everyone listening to this will be consciously like, oh, well, duh, yeah. But subconsciously, we have a hard time accepting this because people change. So as soon as one person in a relationship changes, even if that's in a monogamous relationship, the whole relationship dynamic changes. And what we love doing is getting married and saying, oh, I'll love you and I'll be with you for the rest of your life. Yes, you can love someone for the rest of your life, but that doesn't mean that you're necessarily going to be compatible in a romantic relationship for the rest of your life. So really tuning in with, hey, what are my subconscious beliefs? And what am I doing in my life? Or what expectations do I have of my partner that are kind of ruining the relationship because I'm not taking a look at what's going on in the back here with my beliefs?
Yeah.
Another one that a lot of people might disagree with, here I go, is the prejudgment on what genitals someone has. So this human has a vagina, she needs to own her femininity and she needs to be feminine. And if she's too masculine, we're gonna work on her. We're gonna tell her to be less masculine and to embrace her feminine. And this soul has a little weenus. So he needs to embrace his masculine. And to embrace his masculine, he's gonna be like this and like this and like this. And that's something I hugely disagree with, because so many people in the relationship coaching world use these terms, masculine and feminine, and I'm not the biggest fan. I believe in yin and yang and opposites attract, but I'm not a huge advocate for, oh, let's have this women retreat and we're all gonna learn to embody our feminine, because that can look different for every single female and that can look different for every single male. Mm-hmm. So to not fall in that trap as well, that when you have a lover with a certain body part or gender, to be like, oh, he's gonna now be this for me because he's simply a man, or she's simply
a man, you need to be the woman, fall into the stereotypical role that they're supposed to play by society standard. So don't we both embody both the masculine and the feminine anyway? Every single one of us, we have both energies in us.
Yes, we do. We do. And I don't even like splitting them in masculine and feminine. I'm just like, just put it all in one list, put it all in human characteristics, right? Like our brains just love going, this is black and this is white. Like we want to clean up the gray area and it's one extreme or the other. Our world is like living in such extremes and our brains love it. And then we get more addicted to it. And like everything on our brain is like, it's left or it's right. Are you left or are you right? You know? And I'm just like, no, it's okay. Like they're just human characteristics and it's okay. We can float with them, you know, we'll feel one way in the morning and one way at lunchtime and the next day it's going to change. It doesn't mean you're masculine and then you're feminine. You're just expressing your authentic self. Why do you need to categorize it in these terminologies that also confuse people because of the wording feminine, that you can't help but subconsciously think that that's a female trait, you know, or masculine, that that's a manly trait. We can't help but do that with our subconscious mind.
Very true. Very, very good points. Very good point. Yeah. No, that's very true. I see that done a lot in society with, you know, the feminine and the masculine, and you behave this way and you behave that way because that is what you are and what you're supposed to do according to society standards. So
Exactly. Yeah, another
go on.
Yeah. Another belief I want to bust is that people who are pro-monogamy and are not open-minded to anything non-monogamous, they like attacking people who are in non-monogamous relationships. And they love saying that polyamorous people can't be fulfilled with one person and that they have a problem. And that's a myth as well, obviously. So yeah, people in monogamy love to point at other people and say, oh, they just don't know how to be happy with one person. Mm-hmm. And that's not true as well. I think the ultimate test is if you can be single and not see anyone and be 100% feeling fulfilled, feeling loved and content on your own, that's a good symbol to, if you're really using another partner, whether it's monogamous or not, to try to fulfill you and looking outside yourself to fill, you know, your cup rather than doing it yourself.
Exactly. And so what are all the different types of relationships? There's obviously monogamy. What are the different relationships?
So there's monogamy, which is the most well-known. And some people don't even know that term, which is really cute. They're like, what's monogamy? And I'm like, it's the only thing you know how to do or to try to do. Cause a lot of us say we're monogamous, but a lot of us fail at it.
Who
hasn't been cheated on or has been or cheated on someone before. Right. Exactly. So monogamy is the first one. Polyamory obviously is poly means many and amory means love. So many lovers, the ability to be in a relationship with more than one person at the same time. An open relationship, which means you are open to anything. Usually when people are open, they're open to sexual experiences with other people. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times when people are in an open relationship, it's usually, not always, but it's usually two people who are in a relationship and they're dating other people. And some people get polyamory and open relationships confused, but the way I define them, the way people use them, I'm not saying that this is the definition, but the way people use the terms more is open is usually you're a little bit more sexually open and you're out there dating other people and you're either single or you have a relationship with one other person and then you're dating a lot of other people. Mm-hmm. Whereas polyamory, you can have a closed polyamorous relationship where you're not open to meeting anyone else. You've kind of like fitted the pod and you have your little poly family and you stick to that. And that's polyamory, when you're like actually in a deep, meaningful, loving relationship with more than one person. So that can be two or three people, but you can close that off sometimes in polyamory and you don't date anyone or don't see anyone.
Yeah.
And then the other one is swingers. And that's actually pretty common for two couple or for a couple to get with another couple. And then they exchange partners for a night or whatever, and then they go back. I think you see that a lot more in the party scene because it's, yeah. And then there's polygamy, which a lot of people also confuse with polyamory. And polygamy is religious. It's not this like hippie, like, oh, let's have many lovers. Polygamy is religious. And it's when the man basically owns his female partner by marrying her. But in those countries, they're allowed marrying them more than one female at a time. So one man usually has quite a lot, usually like five wives. And he'll even have kids with some or maybe even all of those wives. But those wives have to stay loyal and monogamous to the husband.
I don't like that.
So that's polygamy. And then these days they created a little, I think it's actually quite funny, they created one that's the opposite to that, but it doesn't have to do with religion or marriage. I think it's just like a, I don't know if you'd call it a feminist kind of movement, but they came up with a term, polyandry. And polyandry means when a female is dating multiple men, but those men are loyal to her.
Right. Okay. I haven't heard that one before. I guess that one's not so common.
Polyandry. Yeah. I think it was recently made up, like the term, but I think it's funny because it was like, there is like a relationship that's actually really, really common in some cultures, the polygamy, where the husband has multiple wives, but there's nothing heard of where the female has more partners and the men stay loyal to her. So I think like, yeah, they created a name for that now.
Yeah, the woman taking that one back with the feminist movement, I can imagine.
Exactly.
And so how do we as individuals find the relationships that are best suited to us? Like, how do you come figure out what is best suited for you?
I love this question. To be honest, if I could answer that in one word, it would be intuition. Mm-hmm. And that's being in touch with your intuition and learning what is best for you at the time, because we live for many, many years, and for one decade of someone's life, it might suit them best to be monogamous and stay loyal with one person. And then the next decade of that same person's life, they may be polyamorous or in an open relationship, or if someone's married for 20 years, they may have 2 years where they're swingers and then they go back to monogamy. Like, it's all about figuring out what works for you at the time. And that's why I also think it's important when we use these labels, instead of saying she is polyamorous or he is polyamorous, to say she is in a polyamorous relationship and he is in a poly or monogamous relationship, because it's just a style of relationship. but it doesn't define you or who you are. And it doesn't mean that that's always going to be what you're going to be doing throughout your life. So diving into your intuition, and then also when you're hearing the different relationship types, like you did a few minutes ago, which one excites you? Which one are you curious about? And which one sounds natural to you? Like when I first heard of polyamory, it wasn't like, oh, that's so freaking weird. It was like, wow, that sounds organic, right? Like that sounds natural. And so does monogamy to me as well. But some of the other ones don't sound natural to me. So it's kind of like, and which one are you curious about? Because a lot of people are in denial that they want to try a different relationship style because they're fucking scared because it's emotionally hard, but they're super curious about it. You know, I have some friends who, when they catch up with me, all they'll want to talk about is polyamory. And I'm like, buddy, looks like you got something you want to try, but I might be too afraid to give it a go. But yeah, I've had a lot of friends over the years that they're, you can just see they're highly curious. And every time they talk to me, they're like, so how are your boyfriends? Are you still polyamorous? So how does that work again with the time and the communication thing? So
I'm really trying to figure it out. Just like, yeah. I just, that was very, very interesting. And so I've got a few common beliefs that I want to share with you, and I want to get your opinion. So I found these three common beliefs, and I want to get your opinion on each of these, and I'll read each statement out at a time and let us all know what you think. So number one is, common belief number one is relationships aren't hard work. What do you think?
It depends on the person. So this can be true, and that's why it's so fucking conflicting in our world. When you hear one person say relationships should feel effortless and they should feel easy, and then the next person's like, no, relationships are all about compromise and they're hard and marriage is hard. And you hear the same about parenting. Parenting's hard. Oh, wait till you have kids. And then you find another parent, they're like, parenting's the most instinctual, beautiful, natural thing that's ever occurred to me. Like, and you're like, oh, which one do I believe? Like, what? It's so conflicting. And I think what that one has to do, what did you say exactly? What were the exact words?
Relationships aren't hard work.
Relationships aren't hard work. So look at the relationship you have with yourself, because the relationship you have with yourself sets the tone for every relationship you'll ever have in your life. So if the relationship you have with yourself is hard because you hate the way you look, you have high expectations of yourself, you always get mad at yourself, you call yourself fat, you call yourself ugly, you're always demotivated, you're procrastinating all the time, most likely any relationship you have is going to be hard work, because the foundation of the relationship you have with yourself isn't healthy yet. If you work on the relationship with yourself and the relationship with yourself becomes really easy and you love yourself and you love spending time with yourself and you really value your time and your worth, then your relationships will be quote unquote easy. And by that, I mean, like, you don't need to compromise, because you'll find someone who's compatible. And if anyone has a healthy relationship with themselves, they don't need to change anything about themselves to find someone who's compatible with them. And once you get two people who are compatible in a relationship, you don't need to compromise, because you want the same things out of life. But if you're struggling with self-love, then your relationships are going to be a challenge until you master that.
Good answer. Very good answer. Yeah. No, that's very true. Yeah. So my next one is, the perfect person is out there. What are your thoughts?
Yes. Yes, I do agree with that. Although for some of us, we have more than one twin flame on this planet. So some of us come to this planet, we have one twin flame. And I almost feel sorry for those people, but hey, that was their choice. They come here, they have one twin flame, like my mother. He passes away, and she's been single ever since, right? That was her one twin flame. She's had 40 years of an amazing relationship, and now that's gone. Some of us will have more than one twin flame, but we'll only meet one. So we may have three wandering around the earth while we're still alive, but we'll only meet one. Some of us will have 100 twin flames, and we might meet five of them in one lifetime. So yes, the perfect person is out there, but that's a different amount for all of us. So for someone who meets more than one twin flame, they're probably more likely going to be polyamorous if they meet them at the same time. Because one might have one twin flame, they got married, and then they were widowed, and then 10 years later they met someone else, and that was another twin flame. That's how you do monogamy, right? But if you meet more than one twin flame in a short amount of space, you're more likely going to want to try polyamory, unless you're really sad. I'd feel sorry for someone who met more than one twin flame and was in this like, oh, but I need to choose one, like, you know, and I need to abandon the other one and never see them again. And that's my biggest, that's like the thing I really don't ever want to happen to me. And I intuitively, and I think I sense this from a very, very young age, I've always had a really good relationship with my intuition. We're like best friends, is that I always knew that I had more than one twin flame and that I'd meet both of them within the same time frame. And that's why when I grew older and I heard of polyamory, it was almost like, oh, that fixes my solution of this gut feeling that there's more than one man out there and an incredible man, like a twin flame, super compatible. Like I know there's more than one out there and that I will be meeting them, you know, within the same time frame, and I'm going to need to be polyamorous. Like I'm going to really, really need it one day. So that's comes back to really diving deep in your intuition. What really feels like it resonates with you? Because some people, and I've been with some people, it is monogamy. And when I first became polyamorous, I was one of those people who's like, oh, everyone's actually polyamorous. Like you see it in nature. It's like supernatural, blah, 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 blah. I was also the like, everyone's bisexual kind of person. But the older I got, and then when I finally met someone and I dated someone who was like authentically, totally monogamous. And I was like, cool. Now I can like lower my fucking belief of like everyone's poly. It's like, no, some people, it's like their soul imprint. Like they come here with an imprint of their style of love. And some people it's monogamy. Some people it's only polyamory. Some people it's both within one lifetime. So just totally diving deep. What feels natural to you? What feels curious to you? What feels like, what kind of excites you and like creates little like bubbles inside of you when you hear it? Yeah.
That's amazing that you had the inner knowing, the intuition when you're
as a kid.
That's amazing.
Yeah, because when I was little, like only the memories came up when I was older, because when you play when you're a kid, it doesn't make sense. You're like, I was just four and I was playing. I was a retard, you know? Mm-hmm. And then when I like was 25, I was like, whoa, all these memories are coming back. And my mom's reminding me like, yeah, you always used to play this game where you had two husbands, and like I knew their ethnicity already as a kid as well. And I'd be like, Mom, I'm gonna marry this kind of guy one day. And she'd just be like, okay, you weirdo. And then I'm like, legit, I swear I knew what was gonna happen when I was like 3, 4, 5. I knew it was gonna happen to me when I was older. So
that is amazing. That's incredible.
Yeah. Wow. I think a lot of kids actually have that. And then our parents, because we're almost too young to remember it, but our parents are just kind of like, oh, that kid's like so weird. They're just so imaginative, you know, off in their imagination. But I think a lot of us actually have these little flashes of our future as a kid. And then we just forget them as we get older.
Yeah. Just dismissed and lost in our, you know, growing up.
And conditioning brainwashing.
And in the last common relationship belief is your partner should be your best friend. What do you think?
Again, that one is, so the first one was true or false, and this one's true or false as well. So it just depends on what kind of relationship you want to have. Some people like having their best friends, whether it's male or female, they're best friends, and then they like having their partner as more like a romantic part of their life, and they don't want to live with them, and they want to be the person that they just meet up with to go traveling with and go on dates with and dinners and do exciting adventures with. And that doesn't mean that they're their best friend. And then they have like another friend who comes around regularly for dinner and does like all the boring stuff with. Like it truly depends on what you want. Do you want your partner, your sexual partner, to also be your best friend? And that's ultimately up to you, not them, right? Mm-hmm. So decide what you want first and then find someone who is that, instead of just being like, oh, it doesn't really matter, like I'm just whatever. And then you find someone and you're like, oh, this is what they want, so I'm just gonna roll with it. And then you find yourself getting resentful and mad at them because you're like, oh, this isn't actually what I want, but I wasn't honest with myself. Now I'm mad at them because I'm just doing whatever they want. Yeah.
That's a common problem we do. We just go and we're like, okay, whatever, we'll adapt to that. But without going in, like you say, with what you want first, which is, then you don't have the resentment.
Yeah. And it goes back to just like, that's the key of all relationships, diving into the relationship with yourself, becoming best friends with yourself, becoming best friends with your intuition, learning self-love and self-care. And like, once you do that, it's just like, life looks different. You're just like, relationships and friends, got it. Like, and before then you're just like, I had that too. It's just like toxic and like bitchy girls talking behind my back, and then like a narcissistic lover here. And I was just like, what the fuck is going on? And then the minute you like really fall in love with yourself, you're just like, wow, humans are so fucking cool. I love all humans. And before then I was like, oh, humans, like, oh, I'd rather just be with animals.
So the relationship with yourself is really important. So
if that's the tone for your relationship with your fucking life, like with everything in your life as well. It's crazy.
Yeah. And so people that are already in relationships, just throwing in this question here, but people that are already in relationships and they need to spend that time with themselves. I mean, my thoughts have been in the past when I've been in a relationship and I know that I need to have time to myself, I thought I need to end the relationship and go off into the bush and, and find myself again. But so can you actually do that while maintaining a relationship, having that, growing that relationship with yourself?
Yes, you fully can grow in a relationship, but it does depend on who you're dating and who you are, because some of us are better off and probably some of us can learn quicker by being single, and some of us learn actually quicker by being in a relationship. So it totally comes back to the individual. And then also depending on who you're dating. So if you're someone who is capable of growing while you're in a relationship, it also depends on your partner. And if they're, you know, if they're super insecure about you saying, hey, I need some time to myself, like I'm going to have like every Wednesday is going to be my day. Can you get the fuck out of the house? Like, I'm going to meditate, I'm going to take a bath, it's going to be my self-care Wednesday. Can you respect that? Because some partners can't. They're like, oh, what? Why do you want me out of the house? Who are you inviting over? Blah, 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 blah. And you're just like, no. You know, so like I've had that with me too. Like I'm recording a podcast and they're like, what are you recording? I'm like, no. Get out. Don't
check. I'm not doing my episodes, damn it.
exactly. So it definitely depends on who you are, and then standing up for yourself and saying like, hey, I love you. I love our relationship. I don't want to end things, but it's really important that I work on myself. And how that looks is, you know, I need some time to myself. Or how that looks is, can you take care of my kids for a few hours while I go out in nature? Whatever that looks like for you. But this idea that people have like, oh, you can only grow when you're single, and then like, you know, only work on yourself till you're what, like Buddha or whatever, and then be in a relationship. I'm like, then we'll be single for the rest of our lives, because you never stop growing, you never stop learning. But sometimes the only way that's applicable is, yes, sometimes it's like you're in a relationship that you know is shit and you know you deserve better, or you know the other partner deserves better, or better as in more in alignment with that person. So you're like, I'm gonna leave this because I know it's not gonna work out in the long run, and I'm gonna work on myself. Sometimes that is best for someone. But it doesn't mean that like you have to be single to work on yourself. But sometimes that's exactly what somebody needs. So it's hard to give like advice to everyone when it's different for everybody.
Yeah. And I liked what you said about the selfless comment of, you might look at your partner and be like, well, you know, this is not actually what's best for you.
Yeah. And,
because a lot of the time we're thinking on what's best for us. But this might not be best for you. So maybe I should take some time on that self-development. Yeah. It's very selfless.
That's really hard as well. because then you need someone who's like emotionally intelligent enough to be like, oh, thank you. Whereas usually it's like, fuck you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And so my last question for you is, in order to have a healthy, thriving relationship, what are key factors that both parties need to bring to the table to make it work?
Yeah, good question. My number one would be compatibility. Mm-hmm. Like, people underestimate compatibility. They're like, oh, but I think she's really sexy. And then she's like, oh, but he's really, really nice and generous. It's like, no. Or they're like, oh, but I really love them. It's like, no, that's not enough. Yeah. It's compatibility. And by compatibility, it's like, can you spend 24/7 with this person if that's the kind of relationship you want? And can you enjoy their company? Do you laugh at the same things? Do you want the same things out of life? Do you want to travel to the same places? Do you want to travel at all? Like, you know, I've dated people who don't want to travel. And I'm like, at first I'm like, okay, sweet. And then eventually I'm like, what am I doing? Like, I'm passionate mm-hmm. about traveling. And that depends though also, because sometimes I don't mind being in a relationship where I'm the only one traveling and they stay at home. So it totally depends on really what you want. But compatibility is just like, you need to question what you really want. And then you need to find someone who is that. And not enough people actually question what they want, and then they just fall into a relationship with both people don't know what they want, and that's just crazy. Or where one person knows what they want and then the other one's just like, yeah, sure, I'll just do whatever you want. Right. And then usually that person, though, like initially the other person who's like, great, this person just does whatever I fucking tell them to, then eventually the other person's like, F you made me do all this stuff. And you're like, no, you voluntarily did. So it's like,
Yeah.
So compatibility, and then honesty is another huge one. Honesty is a huge part, like with any relationship, monogamy, polyamory. And it doesn't mean that you need to like vent and like vomit every living truth out of yourself onto them. It just means like together, when you're talking together, what do you want to be honest about? What do you want to know about? Because some people who are in an ethical non-monogamous relationship, they'll say, you know, oh, if we're both going to be seeing people overseas, when we're overseas, just do it. And then just don't tell me about it. So that's still being honest. You can still be honest in a relationship like that, because you're respecting what the other person wants to hear and what the other person doesn't want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about finding that balance. But then, oh, self-love as well. Like, you need to have a good relationship with yourself. If you can't stand the relationship you have with yourself, no one's going to be able to stand the relationship with yourself. Yeah.
That's really important.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your time today. It's been a really, really inspirational chat.
Oh, thank you. Is there anything
else you want to add?
No, not really. No. Oh.
Thank you so much, Arelle. Honestly, it's interesting to learn about the different types and how it all works, and to understand like there's a real personal development side to polyamory. Yeah. And so yeah. It's not just seeing multiple people, it's actually the growing yourself and them growing as well.
Totally. It's like if you want to take polyamorous really seriously and you want to take learning really seriously, like imagine falling in love with someone and just wanting to be around that person all the time. And then them being like, sweet, I'm off to see this other girl and I'm going to have sex with her and we're going to cook dinner together. It's going to be great. I'll see you tomorrow. It's like, oh, like, okay. The learning begins. Yay. Pain.
Wow, yeah. I can see the challenges. It'd be very challenging.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure. And you need to want the challenge. For anyone who's like, yeah, like, you know, girls or guys who are like, yeah, I just get to like meet someone at the bar and sleep with them, which isn't what I do in polyamory. I'm very like slow progress to a relationship. But if some people see it that way and they're like, great, that sounds like so easy, it's my thing. And it's like, you have to genuinely want to feel pain. Like, you have to want to face those insecurities as well. And sometimes people, there is a huge shadow side to polyamory as well, because they just date people who they never really like in the beginning. So it's easy for them because they're like, oh, I don't really like that person, or I don't really spend a lot of my time with that person, or I keep up a wall the whole time, so I don't really get close to them. So it's easy if they're seeing other people. And that's like the huge shadow side to polyamory as well. When people are like, oh, like I'm a polyamorous guru, like it doesn't even hurt me, I'm not even jealous. It's like, well, how deep do you go with partners? So
yeah, I can see people putting that blockage up, that wall to protect themselves.
Yeah, and we do that in monogamous relationships, but I'd almost say it's more common in polyamory, especially for the younger crowd, because, you know, they think they're being like hip and cool, and they're just young, and they're like, great, I'm going to do this. And then they don't realize that they're putting up a wall in order to do it, because they think it's better. But then if they put up a wall, it's never better, because the only good relationships are ones where you don't have walls. So
exactly. Yeah. Thank you so much again for your time today. It's been amazing speaking to you.
Yeah, you too.
Thank you for sharing that with us.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for inviting me.